Right, welcome everybody to another episode of Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. I am one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. We are covering Married at First Sight, Season 11, Australian Edition, Episodes 33 to 36. Now, Chris, where would you like to start today?
Well, Dave, we're at the end. We've got the reunions coming up this week, but I am so pleased at the end of this. These people, fucking unbelievable this week again, Dave. So you know, we've had the whole Jack and Tori thing, and I've quite a few people are calling me out on Facebook, Dave, and the Messenger, because of the Tory hand situation. Now People can't unsee that now, the old emu fucking hands. But yeah, I just think, like, we're going into this sort of reunion thing for it. And I don't feel by the end of this week, I was really happy with anything that went on. You know, we started with a commitment ceremony, and you've got Sarah and Tim now, Dave. They're so in love. And, you know, I know we have notes today, but I'm going to say what I've written down. My left fucking ballsack, Dave, that they're in love. He is a
ballsack.
Well, a left and a right ball, maybe. But right, I'm looking down now. I've just said that. I'm looking at myself. The central one, maybe. But
you need to go to the doctor.
but Dave, what is going on with these two now? And the fucking experts are fucking buying into this bullshit as well. I'm like, look, Tim, if she cheats on you from this point forward, it's your own fucking fault, mate. Yeah. Because she's blagging it. She's blagged it from the start. You are now all in. And I think you hit the nail on the head, Dave. I think I'm giving Tim a little bit too much credit. I think he's just here for the fucking clout, and he's here for the show. And you were right what you said a few weeks ago. Like, I think he just wants to stay on the show for the popularity, because he's a fucking drip, isn't he?
He is, and I just can't believe he, you know, especially given his history, I just can't believe that he's falling for this. I mean, it's so obvious. Just the way she kind of cuts him off and everything, the way she can't really, she says she'll own stuff, but then doesn't really own it. You know, so if you say you're going to own it, don't go on to justify everything. You know, it's like, no, you're trying to soften it. And just everything that she said around the whole ex has been utter bullshit. And she's just been trying to save face, trying to make sure that she stays on the good side. And I'm sure, you know, there might be a possibility that in her head, you know, she maybe likes him a little bit more. But I just don't buy anything that couple say now. And I'm kind of with you. I don't really. We know a lot of it is staged, but, you know, we kind of want to invest in some couples. I just don't feel like, I don't feel invested in anyone, I don't think. So it is in this last week. I mean, we do get a bit of a scandal, which I'm sure we'll come up to a bit later, but it's hard to get that invested in any of the couples and think, you know, like say Ollie and Tani last year. I mean, boring in terms of TV, but you kind of wanted them to, you know, be together after the show, and that lasted for at least a little while. but there's no one like that. And yeah, I'm just not buying anything that Tim and Sarah are selling.
No, me neither. And actually, Dave, this first episode of the week was interesting because obviously Lucinda and Timothy have gone, haven't they? I mean, they should have gone weeks ago. You know, every time there was a bit of an impasse and you thought they're together, and, you know, and I'm really going to miss Dave. I did say it to Sam the other day. We were out walking and I was like, yeah, it's not my jam, man. You know, she's like watching something from the late 60s, some hippie show from American fucking show, and she says that. But they weren't right together, but I did think the way they concluded it was lovely. And he thanked her, didn't he? And he's like, you know, I really appreciate the journey sort of thing. I think he had a little bit of a redemption arc. He certainly did when he was going at Jack and Tori. I did enjoy him going at Jack. But I think he treated her terribly at the start. And we found out later on why and stuff like that. He didn't justify it, but I think ultimately they've just remained friends, which that was the right outcome, to be honest. And that was probably one of the best bits of the week, Dave, them not actually not getting to the end and saying, no, we're done now, we're done, which I thought was pretty good of them.
Yeah. Did you see the I was just checking it out there. Someone had done like a Lucinda impression of Lucinda walking up the middle aisle of Aldi. Did you see
No.
that? I'll have to send it through to you because it's a guy doing the impression and he's saying, oh, Aldi is just divine. And you've got all these things, and oh, this is so... I'm sure he talks about marmalade, and that was really my jam. It's a really good impression and stuff, to be fair. But yeah, just such an interesting character. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they got right through to the end, didn't they? And then ultimately, yeah. We're gonna tap out on this one. So, right decision just a few weeks later. And it's a weird journey with them, isn't it? Because you're sort of thinking, yeah, there's nothing going on here. Clearly from the wedding day, he's not really into her, and it's like her world. I mean, we were thinking, oh, she's a bit of a tree hugger, isn't she? It's not for him. He's talking about this weird chicken wing at the wedding and stuff. And then you can see he's just not open at all. And then there was a flicker of hope a few weeks ago, and then he just went to be a total douchebag again when he got to homestays. So yeah, right decision for me. And nothing else really for that couple. I can't see anything happening, after. With some of them, you're like, oh, we'll continue to date and we'll just see what happens. It's just the right time to just close the chapter.
No, it is, to be fair. And then one of the weirdest couples, David, and you do get this, like the couples you think are going to be together, Jaden and Eden. We'd had the whole thing with the home stays where she didn't get on the plane, because of what had happened. She was a bit embarrassed, I think, more than anything, because she'd been telling him stuff that as a couple she didn't think was going any further. And he was like, well, this is my opportunity, as we said last week, to use it. He sort of used it against her. And I think that's what upset her, as much as she was telling him stuff, and he felt he was sort of standing in and telling Tim and everything. She's like, she's going to think I'm a two-faced and all that. I think she was embarrassed, but I think ultimately this whole the way he overpowers her, like it's a, and they say it. I thought it was really interesting the way like John and Mel and everyone went at him, because he was on the verge of tears, and it's like, but you see it as a boxing match. You see it as you have to win, you have to impose your will. And I did like the production when he's chatting away to her and she's just looking out into the stars like Homer Simpson. He's like, donuts, and he's chatting shit. And she said, I've just got to agree with him. I've just got to agree with him. And that's terrible, Dave. That is pretty terrible. And yeah, it is a controlling thing and everything. And he can't see it, can he? He's trying to make excuses. And I think by the end of it was a good conversation. He had to eat humble pie, didn't he? But it was really watching Eden. She looked just emotionally drained, didn't she? It's not, it's almost like not gaslighting, but it's control, isn't it? Like in some respects, he's trying to control the whole narrative of the relationship. He thinks he's helping her. And he's like stepping up, but he's not letting her breathe, is he? And I think she's just like, I've just got to agree with him every time. There's no point. I just agree with him.
Yeah, I mean, I found this one really interesting in that, the way the experts were going at him, and actually, let's back up a bit. So yeah, completely agree. It was controlling. I think it was borderline abuse, wasn't it? It was just the way he was going on at her, and I don't think he was knowledgeable about it. I don't think it was a conscious decision. I'm going to abuse Eden, but it did come across to me like abusive. And the thing is, the experts were calling him out on it, and I think it was a good thing actually, because he was stuck in that mode of this bite, this bite. The, I was going to say fight or battle, and no, this bite. No, so stuck in this battle with her. And she's closing down more and more, and he's just not recognizing it. He's just not recognizing the fact that she is just saying, He's thinking, oh, I'm winning here. But when it gets to, so it was a good thing when I think John was the first one to call it out and say it's not like a fight, it's not like a match, and you don't have to win. But I thought his when he started the kind of he started to get it, I thought he came back with an interesting point. It's like, this is kind of what you told us to do, you know, that we have to be open and everything. And I think it's the problem that there's so much more nuance, isn't there, with any kind of relationships, just anything in life, Chris. So that's why I get annoyed with just simple sound bites that boil very complex things down into a simple rhetoric, you know, because things in life aren't that simple. There is more nuance to it. But he was just taking that, you know, you've got to be more open, which I'm sure they'll have said probably those exact words. And he's just run with that without really quite having the emotional intelligence to understand that's not the be all and end all. But I thought essentially he was calling out the experts, like, you've given me shit advice. But yeah, they skirted over that bit. But yeah, so I could empathize with him a little bit, that he's thinking he's doing the right thing, but actually what he's doing is you know, coming across like a cock.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think he took it quite literal, and because he's never, I mean, look, come on. This is coming from a guy who fucking, you know, has made his girlfriend watch him sleep with a best friend just to fucking say, don't do that again, which I think's a masterstroke that he got away with that day. How he sold that dream to his ex, I do not know, but there's a reason she is his ex. So you're right. I think that's right. I think, like, he didn't have the tools, did he, to deal with that. And then when they did call him out on it, he thought he was going to get a pat on the back at first. And then he was like, holy shit, what am I doing? So yeah, it was good at the end of it. They both had to stay anyway, didn't they?
Yeah. Just
like, and she was happy.
That whole thing with the ex-girlfriend, do you not feel like, actually seeing him in close quarters, and especially the last 2 weeks, it does shine a bit more light onto what that situation would have been like. And it would have been a battle with his ex-girlfriend as well. So his ex-girlfriend had been unfaithful to him, he says, multiple times, and but they've still probably got deep feelings for each other, so they're trying to figure this thing out. But he's thinking, well, in this battle, you know, I have to do something to even the scores here. You know, so he's in that mindset. And so that's where he's thinking, well, the only logical thing is I need to plow your best friend. Now, to be fair, that is the Hail Mary. And apparently it came off as well. So, you know,
came off by the sounds of it, then and went in as well.
But yeah, I think it's consistent with what we've seen of his personality.
Yeah, he's a strange lad. And then we've got Ridge and Jade. I mean, what's interesting, Dave, he did the D's thing again at one point in the stream. She had a pop at him, didn't she? She fucking hates it. But I didn't realize. I mean, he's a psychiatric nurse. He's a clever guy. And we were talking about this, and Sam's like, well, maybe it's because of his job. He has to act childish because it's so intense and everything. And it's like, well, maybe, but he's 28. I didn't realize. I thought he was like 21 or something. He's 28, isn't he? So he's not like he's a young kid as such. He's not daft. He's a clever guy. He portrays himself as this sort of surfer dude, doesn't he, who hasn't got like a brain. It's all about this, you know, it's the way he is, a gym bro or whatever, but he's not, he's a clever guy. But when he's not doing that little thing, and he isn't doing it as much when he's around Jed, I'm sure if he's with his mates, fuck me, D's will be every other word. It'd be like, you need a translator. Do you want a drink, D's? Oh, you want, you know, like thing like Groot, Dave. He's like fucking Groot, isn't he? They're probably speaking D's and they'll know exactly what he wants. Oh, so you want a whiskey chaser? D's. Yeah, you know, it's like, fuck off. But I do think that they're good together, and I think he's genuine when he says stuff to her. I mean, you said last week, maybe it's for the show. I'm not sure, but I feel that there's something there. However, with the job he's got, the one thing that I question is his job, because that is a hell of a thing to give up. I'm not saying there won't be same roles where she lives, but that's when I think, as I've said before, these people should be in the same city when they put them together, not across the other side of Australia and that, because it's a massive stumbling block for anybody, the long-distance relationship.
Yeah, I think with the job, though, I mean, being a psychiatric nurse, I kind of feel like you could get that anywhere in Australia, or certainly any of the cities. And so going down to the Gold Coast, yeah, I'm pretty sure you'd be able to get a job pretty easy there. I don't know, Chris. I think he's a fucking knob, to be honest. the problem is, right, when he turns off all the bro shit, all the frat boy stuff, and I have known people like these, and especially in the US side, right, there is a frat boy culture, and you can see it. And I've never been a part of a fraternity, but even in work, right, you come across these people, and you're just like, all right, you've not quite ever moved out of the frat house mentality. And so I just think like that is him, you know, and the job, it probably almost helps him, you know, being that kind of loud, outgoing extrovert, you know, in that line of work. But I don't know, it's just when he turns all that frat boy stuff off, he comes across as being quite emotionally intelligent, sensitive. He seems to be all the things that Jade needs. But then it's weird how he flip-flops between almost two different personas. I think for the very short term, you know, they're both young, you know, very attracted to each other. I think it will probably work in the very short term. I just can't see it in the long term. I think, you know, like Jade's mum said, you know, it's life with a kid, family life is hard. And, you know, I just don't see, like you said, being surprised that he's 28 and you think, oh, I thought he was 21 or something. That isn't a positive. It's not a positive thing that, you know, you're almost shaving a decade off the lad. So, for me, he's this season's Al. Remember Al with shoey, and then he's like, oh, he's completely grown from this and yada, yada. And then he fucking turns up on Love Island. You know, that'll be Ridge. He'll turn up on Love Island or something.
These are probably better than Love Island. They'll love him on that.
Yeah.
I'm even doing the rock star fingers, Dave. Yeah. What about the most fucking talked about probably couple on this series, Jack and Tori? So, you know what annoys me, Dave, and it isn't just these exclusive to these two. It's the bullshit. They've been together for 3 months, right? All right, the weekend thing's still a bit suspect for me, but they are filming, it's intense, whatever they're doing, that's fine. It's this dialogue of, you know, they ask him, like, what do you think? I could fall in love with her. Mm. Well, you've been with her for 3 months. If you're going to, and this isn't just him, she says the same. I think Sarah says it later on. These various other people, even Ridge and Jade are saying it. It's like, they say, I could, I maybe, I can see. Why, if you're with someone now after 3 months, surely if there is a real genuine connection, you'd be saying, like what, you know, Jaden and Eden do at the dinner party, you know, I love you sort of thing. I just don't buy any of it again. These two are just a pair of fucking bellends. And Tori, again, is going to, by the looks of it, it's all on his terms. And he's not moving back to Melbourne because he's from Victoria, because one of my uncles lives in Victoria. He said, I'm staying on the Gold Coast, you know, and I've got to say, Dev, I'm not going to bring the podcast down too much. And I know it doesn't take a lot to bring the podcast down, but the revelations about what he's actually into and maybe why he's not sleeping with Tori is disgraceful, if that is true. That's all I'm going to say. Basically, if you have a hygiene problem and no one else can help, Jack's your man for you. That's all I'm going to say, Dave. I'm not saying any more. It's absolutely awful what I've read this week. But they've cut it all out, allegedly, as well, which is not a fucking bad thing. But yeah, these two, again, just fucking bollocks. And, Dave, you know, with Tori, we were laughing yesterday watching like the final commitment summary episode and all that. It's the look. She does this weird look all the time, doesn't she? Like this, like, she tips her head. I'm not just calling her out all the time. It sounds like I'm calling her, but this is why I don't buy anything they're selling. I've not bought it from the start. She's put with all his bullshit, and he's carried on being a dick and being sexist, and it's all on his to this control Christian Grey fucking wannabe. And she does this weird look all the time, like she does her eye thing as if to say, just carry on doing it. It's fine because it's all fake and set up. I can't put my finger on it with them both. But this thing they picked up last week, the experts on the knee and everything, I think they've got signals they give to each other. Hers is with her eyes, definitely, because she does this weird thing with her eyes, and it's like she's signaling to him to carry on and just go with it. I can't work it out. They're just really, really bad actors, the pair of them.
Yeah. I mean, they're both fake as fuck, aren't they? Just 100%. In different ways. I mean, the stuff with Jack, I've got slight doubt in my mind whether he is into all the stuff that's being reported, or he's just almost trying to create infamy. I think he's absolutely a cock. I think he's definitely a misogynist. I just wonder how much of it is real. I think as we obviously we've got the reunion episodes, but we're coming to the end pretty much now. We've done the final vows and stuff. I'm a bit like yourself. I'm a bit fatigued now. I'm ready for the season to be over because it's just hard now to spot anything authentic at all. And these are probably one of the worst couples for just being fake. I mean, the eyes, I mean, it's almost like she's a cartoon character, isn't she? The little expressions. And, you know, I'm doing it now. I can't help it. But the hand gestures, I did like someone posted in the group, Wicked Witch of the West, likening Tori's hand movements to her. And just, I think I said it last week, I feel like she's worse because Jack is a tool, right? But you can tell he's a tool. And I do think, you know, he's exaggerating it as well for the cameras and the infamy. But it's the fact that she's given us this narrative about how everything's great. And it's like, we can see it. So we can see that it's not authentic. And, you know, all of these shitty things that he does. And last week at the weekend, and he's like, yeah, I'm not going to move down here. I work 6 days a week. I'm not going up every weekend. And like you say, the look, it's like, come on, the fucking camera's right there.
Yeah,
just help me out here. I'm trying to fucking sell the dream here. And then at the end of it, when you say it's all these fucking weasel words, isn't it? Oh yeah, definitely one day I could see myself, you know, I could fall in love with you or something like that. And then she's doing the talking to the camera bit, and she's like, ooh, Jack likes me.
I know.
It's like, no, he fucking doesn't. No. It's all right. No, he doesn't. Yeah. So it's just all utter nonsense. So I think that is the problem, and that's what leads, from my perspective at least, that's what leads to the fatigue, is like, I can't trust anything that I'm seeing with this couple now. I just don't believe any of it.
No, I'm the same. I'm past it. Even, you know, she goes to see her mum, doesn't she? And it's just like, I mean, her mum at the start saying how good he is. And you know, we've called Jack's man bun, Dave, and I've called it, especially because I just don't get it. And everyone, yeah, he's Bob. Everyone has their own opinions on hair, whatever you're into or whatever. But as a guy, in the UK, it's slightly different. Long hair is usually for like rockers and that, isn't it now, Dave? You don't see a lot of people with long hair, or maybe the odd student and that. But like years ago, you would see it. But when he had his fucking hair down, he looked like fucking Simba, Dave. And he was when he was having this like thoughtful thing, like he was looking over the Serengeti or something. He's there with his hair. I was like, holy shit, his fucking hair's like fucking Rapunzel. I thought he was going to climb down the fucking side of the building. It was that long. And they have this deep and meaningful one. He's got his top, he had to have his top off, didn't he? Looking out, showing the guns off, Dave. And that's not because he looks good. I know he works hard for it, but he's there, and I'm just like, why are you doing this long shot with the long hair? He looks like a cock, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm just fucking bollocks, the pair of them. Absolute bollocks. And he wore no socks again for the fucking ceremony. What a dick. But there you go.
God, but his feet stink. Mind you, he probably liked it.
But he's got blisters, I know that. So, Dave, the main event, and this has been a shocker, this, to be fair. Tori alluded to, I've got a bit of info when we finished up last week, and you're like, oh, who's this? I think, oh, it's going to be fucking, it's going to be, I don't know, is it a Sarah again? Is it, you know, is it somebody? Who is it? But no, fucking good old Jono, Dave, is a fucking weasel. Now, we've called out Sarah, and quite rightly, for cheating. But Jono is a bellend. And what annoys me is, Dave, he does it in this, like, low-key, well, I've done nothing wrong, actually. I've just been texting. No, mate, you've spent a lot of time emotionally involved with Ellie, who, when we do this flashbacks, you can see he was sticking up for against Ben over the top. 100 text messages swapped between him, Dave. Lauren obviously wasn't there. She'd had an operation the week before. So this, it must have started before then. It's utter bollocks. And the I nearly said the judges again. The experts call him out. And he still doubles down on it, doesn't he? And he's a fucking liar, Dave. He's an absolute liar. And I don't give a fuck what he says. He is cheating on her, whether it's emotionally or not. And I think he's probably had a little bit with Ellie when she was in the actual experiment. It's fucking bollocks. And I'm not a massive fan of Lauren at all, but at the end of the day, she didn't deserve that. And my God, did he double down. He was just a weasel all week from this point, I thought.
I mean, I kind of feel like he's been weaselly from the start for different reasons, you know. And even when Jack said the whole muzzle your woman comment, and then they get to the couch, and he's like, "Oh, happy birthday, by the way, to Tori."
It's fucking amazing, that one.
Fucking weasel. And then, yeah, the thing I didn't really like about how it all kicked off is, you know, again, Tori had this information, you know, so somehow she's got wind of this thing where, you know, Jono and Ellie have been texting each other. And she cannot fucking wait, Chris. She cannot wait to blow this up. And I just felt it was quite nasty, really, because she could have had a word at any time. Obviously, you know, for the show, she probably has to do it when the cameras are there. She's probably maybe having some influence from the producers as well. Or I'll just sit on this for a little while. But I'm not going to lay it at the feet of the producers here. It seemed like she genuinely could not wait to throw this in Lauren's face. And I kind of feel like, well, what we saw last week at the dinner party and stuff, Lauren was just trying to look out for Tori. And she actually seemed quite hurt that Tori just fucking threw it all back in her face. But not only that, you know, Tori just can't wait to stick the fucking knife in. And Lauren did seem genuinely upset by the thing. But like you say, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry. No, and I think you're right. I think for Tori, one, it was, well, you've had a lot to say about my relationship, but what about yours? But you're right. Ultimately, it wasn't like Lauren had been caught out cheating. It wasn't like she was doing a Sarah and she was double downing. Like Sarah had gone in on some of the couples at the start, hadn't she? Like, you know, Jack and Tori and all that sort of thing. Lauren had done nothing wrong. It was fucking Jono who's done the cheating. Yeah. But yeah, Tori was just spiteful. And also, I think it took the heat away from her and Jack. I think ultimately that's what she wanted, really, just to sort of carry on with their fucking faux, fake fucking relationship. So it's like, well, this is, and it dominated the week, Dave. And I think you've got a good point. And even when he said, "Muzzle your woman," maybe that's why he didn't have a go, because he was like, well, Ellie's not doing anything wrong, actually. You know what I mean? Maybe it was at that point he's like, well, I'm not really with Lauren. So maybe that's why he didn't stick up for I'm clutching now. But I just felt that Jono's dialogue, the way he spoke to her in the dinner party, well, I don't care what you think anymore and all this. It's like, wow, you just he's a low-key, nasty piece of work, isn't he? He's not reactionary. He's not like, say, a Jack or Sarah or Tori, who's got like a mouth and wants to sort of double down and stick up for themselves. But he's just they're probably worse. The silent ones like that are actually worse, because you don't know what the hell they're doing. And he's going to die on his sword that he did not cheat with Ellie at all. He may not have done physically, but he certainly was doing it when it comes to like the mental side of it. And Lauren completely gone at that point. I did love Lauren's delivery at the dinner party. That was fucking brilliant. But yeah, what a horrible little shit he is.
Yeah, because he went from a real swing, didn't he? He went from, you know, all this information came out, he's just trying to justify it. He's trying to explain it away. It's, I text everyone. And then, you know, hands over his phone and stuff. And there's lots of text messages. I mean, the number 100 gets thrown around. I think it's just lots of text messages. But that was at the commitment ceremony and the day after. But then he goes completely the other way. So at the dinner party, he says something like, had I been paired up with anyone else, I would have had an easier ride. I mean, he sort of goes from the defensive to the attack, doesn't he? And he just becomes nasty with it. And I thought that was, you know, again, just fucking own it and then move on from it. But I tell you what, Chris, I can't wait for the reunion.
Oh, my God. Well, the reunion, we got the preview, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly.
Lying 4K walks in with her. It's like, oh, mate, and you're going to keep doing it. And by the looks of it, though, Ellie was really nice and respectful with Ben, but from the little bit of the VT stuff with his, she's doubling down on it as well. She looks like she's become a bit of a nasty piece of work as well. Only off that bit of the clip we've seen, but like she's got no fucking sympathy for Lauren at all or anyone else. So I don't know whether the fame of just having that bit of fame notoriety has gone to her head, but that was not the Ellie we saw in the show.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to reserve judgment until I see the full episode.
Yeah, you're right.
It's all fucking edited, isn't it? So that we just see what they want us to see. But I don't know. I've said this many times with like Love Island in particular. It's fascinating because you see people, you know, villainize other people's behavior and then do something exactly the same, then forgive themselves very quickly and justify it. And so, you know, before we started recording, we were talking about the football as well and the ridiculousness of that, seeing the same thing differently, you know, depending on what your kind of agenda is. So it could be that the way she sees it, you know, Lauren and Jono might have said to Ellie, you know, it's nothing with Lauren, you know, she's a bit of a fucking nightmare. But the reality is we're seeing like the homestays and stuff. We're seeing them go from, okay, they're a bit matey, don't seem like a great match, you know, just in terms of energy and stuff. I didn't think right straight away, I didn't think they would be that compatible. But then they seem to get to a place where it was kind of working, you know. But then in the background, Jono's been having all these conversations with Elliot, but she might not see it that way. She might have seen it that, oh, well, you know, they weren't together, so, you know, it's all fair enough. And then she's just going into the defensive position.
Yeah, and you're right. I think you've a very good point. From the start, these were never compatible, were they? I mean, Lauren was absolutely hammered at the wedding and stuff, and she was getting called out, but I think they have been friends through it. And maybe it's because they've got a storyline now. Maybe Lauren's doubled down on that. But for the context of the show, like, he has just carried it on. And even blaming Lauren, wasn't he? Like, he was blaming her for, well, you're saying I'm cheating, I'm not having it. I'm like, but you are. The experts even fucking said it was out of order. They even said it as the week's gone on. They watched the dinner party and you can see him going, oh my God, like he's blaming her. He's trying to have a go, like you said before. They're not buying his shit either, but he's adamant he's done nothing wrong. And it's like, we don't know what it's like when them two living together. Lauren is very, very loud, isn't she? She's very intense and she'd gone after a few people in the experiment, hasn't she? You know, like obviously with the Jack and Tori thing and that, it was continual. Every dinner party was her going at Tori and Jack and that. And it's probably wore him down. He's like, I don't really care. But it doesn't justify what he's done. And I think ultimately when they came to the final commitment and he said, I'm dressed as I'm going to a funeral, he still doubled it down, didn't he?
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, wasn't it? I mean, I thought Lauren's speech was really good and she laid into him and he just wasn't having none of it, was he? He was just like, no, I thought the way she left it was perfect. She called him out for his lying and his bullshit. And she probably knows that he's seeing Ellie and it is him just trying to save face for the TV show. But I just felt like, oh my God, how can you go from being someone who was, or other than the bit where he basically dropped out when Jack confronted him and bottled it and stuff. But other than that, I didn't finding that bad, to be honest, because I thought the others were bellends, but he has elevated himself to one of the main bellends of the whole fucking series now. That was a real turnaround this last week.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's everyone on this show is probably a narcissist at some... It's like a spectrum, Chris. Everyone's on that narcissism spectrum somewhere. And he just came in, you know, as a late runner. He was a bit more of the quieter one, but definitely, I think you see this with the narcissists, where he was, you know, at first he was defensive, but then he sort of flips it around and then absolutely blames Lauren for everything. And then by the time you come to those final vows, it's like he's the one who's been wronged. That's the way he sees it.
Yeah.
Like he's the one who's been, you know, dealt this bad hand, and, you know, Lauren's this terrible person, so I'm going to turn up, you know, like I'm dressed for a fucking funeral sort of thing. I thought it was annoying. It was, you know, he elevated himself, like you say, to becoming the villain of this week. But, you know, it's fascinating as well just to see that mindset shift from being the kind of innocent party to going full on attack, and then, you know, really kind of making out like he's the victim in all this.
Bizarre. And brilliant as well. It shows like human nature, how these things double down. So when we get to the final ceremonies, Dave. So I was shocked by this. We ended up with more couples together for the purpose of the show.
Bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. So Ridge and Jade, you know, the whole build up with the Willy, won't they? I thought the speeches were good. They're obviously, you know, happily ever after day. They're the one I'm really interested in. All the others, I'm pretty certain, are not going to be together, or I'd be amazed if there is. Well, actually, I'd say we probably would be. And I know people listening probably watched it and go, like, Chris, you did. I would probably say Jack and Tori, maybe Sarah and Tim are the ones who are still together, Dave. The ones who nobody, it's a bit like Bryce and fucking Melissa that time, and they've got two kids and everything now and all that. You know, you're sort of thinking the ones you're not expecting are probably are still together. But obviously, Ridge and Jade together, Sarah and Tim, come on, do me a fucking favor. Eden and Jaden, he said he loved the dinner party. They went through with it. And then the one that built me up, Dave, I mean, we said about Jono and Lauren, obviously they were the only ones who actually split. She had the whole, it seems to be that like orchid place where they go when they're going to walk off. That seems to be the one where they don't really stay together at that point. And
yeah,
she fucked off. I won't get a speech yet, but it's the Jack and Tori one. It went across like two episodes, the first commitment episode. It goes across that, and it's like, will they, won't they? And you're getting all this build-up about Jack saying, like, I'm not in love with you and all this. But you know full well, I said, something, it's obvious they're going to be together, because they're not going to reveal that and then leave us hanging. And then you go in the next episode, and he says, yeah, actually, I don't. His speech was terrible anyway, but let's be honest. But then ultimately, Dave, they're going to give it a go. And I'm like, you've gone... I'll give them the credit. They're committed to the end. The bullshit fake relationship has completely gone to the very last episode. I thought we were getting a Bronte and Harrison, and she was going to redeem herself and go, oh, I've seen the light. He's an absolute cock, blah, blah, blah. But no, they both go with it. And again, Tori doing the sort of Superman eyes at him as if to say, do not fucking say something that doesn't make us look like a couple. Otherwise, I'm going to blast you with my eyes. So I'm like, come on. Fucking hell.
Did you feel there was any doubt the way that was going to go, though?
No, no.
You know, never, just, and again, the way the music, you know, it makes you go through that roller coaster. So, you know, if they're going through their doubts, you know, then the dark music plays, the kind of serious
music. The violin kicks in, doesn't it?
But, you know, through all this, I've seen what a great couple we can make. And the music's like, da 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 da. I was really, really happy and stuff. And it's like, I just felt really, really cynical watching these two go for it. Because, again, it's just like, there is no way. And before, I think we've seen an evolution over the last few years. It's ridiculous. We've been doing this for so long now. But, you know, before it used to be, okay, show's over, wrap, you know, that's it. We'll go off and do our things. But there's more of a stickiness to it now. There's more of this media interest after the show. So there is definitely a benefit to staying or being perceived as staying together as a couple for just that bit longer. Even if you can't stand each other, right? You've got papers wanting to speak to you. You've got magazine deals. You've got people following you on Instagram. Not everyone watches it. I mean, we're obviously watching it in the UK sort of time zone or schedule, if you like, but people watch things a lot on streaming now as well. So the whole series might have happened and people are through word of mouth, people are picking it up and then just binging it later on through on-demand services and stuff. So there's a longer time period now, I feel like, where, you know, couples can stay together even though they're not really a couple. I mean, how many Love Island couples have stayed together, you know, for let's say 3 to 6 months and they've seen each other twice? It's not really, you can't count that elapsed time if you've only met up for a drink once or twice. So yeah, I feel like with Jack and Tori, they're gonna really stretch this out because the commitment to the bullshit is genuinely Harrison and Bronte levels. They've just played it a slightly different way.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. I think just to prove to everyone that they were real, you're right, that lie will just keep going for maybe 6 months and then it'll be we remain friends, you know, and all that bollocks, like the usual press release. But anything else, Dave, before we go?
Just to say, so Eden and... Oh, Jaden. I thought the L-bomb, I didn't know how to feel about that when he dropped that at the dinner party, because it was like he got a roasting on the commitment couch, you know, and they were in a pretty bad place for a while. You know, you could see her sort of mental health deteriorating on screen, quite honestly. Yeah. Yeah, and then, right. You know, he kind of gets a bit of advice, you know, and then we only get to see like the final commitment, the final vows and oh, the dinner party and final vows and stuff. And then it's like, oh yeah, I love you.
Yeah.
It's like, hang about. It felt like a competition to me. It felt like, you know, he was going to drop this at the final dinner party and that was it, you know, to really create that iconic moment, that iconic maths moment. And so yeah, I can't help it, but I just felt quite cynical about that as well.
Yeah, I don't think that I might be wrong, but I don't think these two are together at all. So it'd be interesting. We'll do the reunion, we'll know more then, Dave, and then we'll do a where are they now segment as well, Dave. The Chris Phelps, I'll just go on Google and find two bits of articles and just go with that, whether it's the truth or not. Yeah, so we'll go with the where are they now segment, Dave.
Nice.
next week. But Dave, we've had a couple of reviews actually, haven't we? We asked for some reviews and we've got a couple come through.
We've had a few actually. Let me see if I can bring them up. Just entertain yourselves if you're listening. So, yes, we should have talked about this before we started recording. But anyway, let me go from top to bottom. And I think, to be fair, credit to Charlene, who's prompting people a little bit on the Facebook, because we are generally just a bit shit about stuff like this.
and stuff.
But anyway, Chris, so one of the reviews here is called Best Ever. It's a 5-star review in the UK Apple store. And it says, what a bunch of fucking bellends. This is the best part of every Monday. The only reason I don't watch Maths Australia to the end, other than the fact I'm left my own thoughts slipping slowly into madness, is to listen to these guys. I did read that right. I do a special walk to listen to it so I can spend some time howling down the street absolutely hilarious. Keep it up, guys. The best podcast I have listened to in ages. In ever, I think. This bit gets a bit weird, Chris. It says, it finishes off with, that doesn't involve murder.
I love that. That's
maybe a true crime fan there. The next one says, great pod. Enjoy hearing your takes. I'm always laughing. And then there's another one, down to earth, great views on reality TV. Love this podcast. Loads of episodes to catch up on. Great views on the good, bad, and ugly of reality TV. And then we're going to keep going, Chris. So we've got, they say what we're all thinking. 5 stars, one for every time Chris calls someone a bellend. Now, to be fair, I think we would break the rating system on Apple if we likened it to that one-to-one. But yeah, we absolutely love these reviews. Thanks so much for dropping them. And apparently, you know, they say the Apple podcast gods, you know, do reward you if you have more. So they help us get out to more people, basically, and just drives up those algorithms, apparently. So it's absolutely really, really appreciated.
No, it is. Thank you so much. And we've been amazing to get so many. And again, like you said, Dave, thanks to Charlene as well. If you do want to get up to Facebook, guys, Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast, please get over there. All the episode links are on there. If you're outside the UK, we do have a NordVPN affiliation code as well. If you have a look on the podcast notes for today's episode, if you do want to watch it like authentically on like the E4, Channel 4 player or ITVX, if you're watching Love Island, things like that. So yeah, please get over there. We really appreciate it. Come and join us on Facebook. If you do want to email us, though, cdrealitycast@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @cdrealitycast. And as always, massive thank you to everyone who supports us and you know, has done over the last couple of years. It's amazing. This podcast is still going. We're having such good fun with these absolute gaggle of bellends. And if they're not bellends, what's the point of the show, Dave? And if you do want to support us, it's patreon.com/cdrealitycast. So, the roll call of honour, and a big thank you to Kent Gustafson, Lucky Lulu Green, Lauren, Hennessy, Susan, Dee Dee, Libby, Joanna, Chloe, Helen, Keith, Gillian, Zoe, Maggie, Cassie, Fiona, Nicola, Helen, Larissa, Amanda, Kim, Danielle, Nick, Andrea, Sims, Kathleen, Jesse, Sinead, and Stacey. So thank you so much, guys, for all your support. Absolute brilliant, brilliant support for the podcast. And yeah, Dave, so we go into the final week. I have put a little few crumbs down for you, potential things we may do next, but we'll maybe have an idea when we record the reunions and see where we go from there. But yeah, thank you so much, mate, for the 36 episodes of watching maths. Has been unbelievable as always.
It's been brilliant. Actually, I just remembered, I have watched a couple of other things that you put me on to that maybe we'll speak about.
Yeah, you're not supposed to say them on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, no, those things. But, I was just going to say, we sort of hinted at it, but we didn't really give out our award of Bell End of the Week. And I think, certainly from my side, I'd have to award it to Weasel Boy Jono there. I think that's where my vote would go. How about yourself?
Fucking not that. He's not even up for debate. How you can surpass Jack and Tory, I do not know. And, yeah, he did. I didn't do anything. Oh, shut up, Jono, you fucking weasel. Fucking weedy little fucking weasel. Absolute cheater. Cheater, Dave, with a capital B. Fucking bellend.
Awesome. We're glad we cleared that one up, Chris. So thank you very much. Thanks to all our listeners. Thanks to all our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.